Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. We are studying this week two spiritual enemies, pride and humility. We know from James chapter 4, verse 6, that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble person. We know then that we don't want to ever be in a position in our lives where God is resisting us, and yet pride will be a reason that God will have to resist us. So I pray that as we study the Word of God together today, that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you any area of pride in your life so that you can confess it as sin and be restored to the Lord, and you can be in the place where you can begin to receive His grace in your life. If you feel that your spiritual life has come to a standstill, where no matter how hard you pray or go to church or read the Word, that you don't feel anything from God or any release from heaven, perhaps the root problem is pride and God is somehow resisting you. Listen carefully as we examine some manifestations of pride in the lives of people that are often unrecognized and therefore unrepentant of. And when an unrepented of sin is in your life, you have a block between yourself and God. One manifestation of pride in a person's life looks like this. Pride will cause people to desire the praise of men and to demand honor, status, and recognition, and to become angry if this is not given. Have you ever become upset, insulted, offended if someone did not recognize you for your hard work, for your accomplishments, or for who you are, your status, and somehow you were overlooked? If you've ever had that well up inside of you, understand this. Pride is at the root of that, because pride causes people to desire the praise of men and to be insulted if it is not given. Pride will cause people to desire to be honored and recognized and to become angry if it is not given. Here's a very biblical example that we find in the book of Esther, chapter 3. Haman was the right-hand man of the king of Persia. Haman was a very prideful man, and he loved having people bow down to him when he would pass by. And yet Mordecai the Jew, the cousin of Esther, would not bow to Mordecai because he felt that it was dishonorable to bow to anyone but to the Lord God himself. So it says in Esther 3, verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed nor paid homage to him, Haman was filled with rage. And we know that this rage, this anger that rose up in Haman because he was not honored by Mordecai, resulted in him sinning even further. He plotted Mordecai's demise, his death, his murder, by having a gallows built for Mordecai to be hanged upon. Pride desires the praise of men and becomes angry if this is not given. Naaman, the Syrian commander, almost lost his opportunity to be healed of leprosy because of pride. Here was the illustrious leader of the Syrian army with his entire entourage of horses and chariots and men. He pulled up to the prophet Elisha's humble home and demanded that Elisha come out and heal him of his leprosy. But when Elisha the prophet didn't bother to personally come out and take care of him, but instead sent his own servant boy out to deliver a very simple message that if the Syrian commander would go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times, that he would be healed of leprosy. This affected Naaman's pride, and he left angrily. The scripture tells us in 2 Kings 5:11, but Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper." Wisely, Naaman's servant pleaded with him and said, "If the prophet had come and ask you to do some big thing, you would have done it. So why don't you just go and do as he said?" And reluctantly, Naaman humbled himself, took the advice of a lesser person, his own servant, and went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times. And because he was obedient to the prophet's words, his leprosy was completely healed, and his skin became like a child's. And yet pride of his status and his position and the fact that Elisha the prophet didn't honor him by coming out personally almost cost him his healing. Many people lose the blessing of God because of pride. Many people won't humble themselves and they don't receive their healing. A humble person doesn't elevate himself above others in his own estimation. So he's not expecting to be held in higher esteem than anyone else. That person then is not offended if he is not honored, even if he's deserving of honor. Jesus, who was deserving of honor, was never offended when the people did not treat him with respect. When the religious leaders did not recognize him for who he really was, he was not personally offended by that. He was sad for them because they were missing their opportunity to embrace the Messiah, missing their own gift of salvation from God himself. And yet he didn't take personal offense at their attitudes. Instead, he humbled himself. And when he was being murdered, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." A humble person recognizes that Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2:7 and 8. If you truly have a spirit of humility, if a person does not honor you or recognize you for your specific title or status or place in life, you'll not ever be offended by that. You'll not ever be offended if you are not treated in some special way, because a humble person is not expecting to be held in higher esteem than anyone else. And yet many people, even Christians, are quite easily offended if they are not esteemed by others. A truly humble man is hard to find, yet God delights to honor such selfless people. Booker T. Washington, the renowned black scholar and educator, was an outstanding example of this truth of humility. Shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked him if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the house and stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to the lady. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized profusely. "It's perfectly all right, madam," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." The scripture tells us the reward of humility are riches, honor, and life, according to Proverbs 22:4, and a humble spirit will obtain honor. Booker T. Washington certainly showed a spirit of humility, and honor was brought to him in his lifetime through many, many people who recognized his humility and his servant-heartedness towards people. God desires to see that quality in every one of his children. Would you pray today that God would do a work in your heart that would remove all trace and taint and contamination of pride in your life and would give to you that spirit of humility that is so desired by God Himself? Confess pride to the Lord as sin today and ask the Lord to create in you a clean heart and to put that right spirit within you. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to join me tomorrow as we continue studying pride and humility. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners supply keepers. In the Old Testament, the supply keeper was the one that maintained and distributed the material supplies needed by the soldiers who were going out to the front lines of battle. Our supply keepers help us broadcast the gospel around the world. We are currently broadcasting our program in Russia, in Europe, in North Africa, in the South Pacific, and Australia, and we are longing to expand into the Middle East and to all of Asia. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a supply keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.